This is Ham College, episode 134, for February 6, 2026. Ham College is brought to you by ICOM. Whether the bands are calm, crowded, or somewhere in between, when the gear stays out of your way and the contacts keep coming, you know you're in good company. Choose ICOM. Greetings and welcome to another episode of Ham College. I'm Professor Thomas.
And I'm Dean Martin.
And we've got questions. And
we've got answers. Hopefully they're the right answers.
And we hope you've got some answers too, because there will be a test. This will be a makeup exam. Did you bring your makeup?
No, I have to get with Emil to borrow his makeup mirror. I mean, his makeup light.
This episode was originally scheduled for February the 6th, and, we were a little late getting to it. I had a work emergency 10 days ago. So, anyway, I didn't have one today so far.
Knock on wood. The night's still young.
True. We're studying for the amateur radio technician exam. So, if you're not a ham yet, this is a perfect show for you. If you are a ham, it's likewise a perfect show because you should go over these questions again. You'll be surprised how many of them have changed since you took your exam.
Or how many things you don't remember.
Exactly. Yep. What did we talk about last time?
Well, let me scratch my head here and see if I can figure it out. Seems like it was some things about circuit diagrams, maybe the use of schematics. Basic structure, schematic signals, and basic components. That was in one section. And we're doing two sections of show now. So the other part, I think, was on component functions. Seems like there was something to do with rectifiers, relays, voltage regulators, meters, indicators, integrated circuits, transformers, resonant circuit, and shielding, just to name a few. That's off the top of my head.
and the sheet of paper here.
Yeah.
Well, this time around,
I was fooling anybody because I was sitting there holding it up.
We're going to talk about station equipment, about receivers, transceivers, transmitter amplifiers, receive amplifiers, transverters, basic radio circuit concepts and terminology, sensitivity, selectivity, mixers, oscillators, PTT, and modulation. But if that's not enough, listen to this. We've got symptoms, causes, and cures of common transmitter and receiver problems like overload and overdrive, distortion, interference, and consumer electronics, and RF feedback. If that won't wet your whistle, I don't know what.
I know, right?
But will.
I'm interested in hearing about the overload and overdriven part. I feel like I've been through there before.
Yeah. Then chewed up and spit out too, huh? Well, let's get on into them, see what's where the chips are going to fall tonight.
Chips?
I didn't bring any.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Sorry. Which term describes the ability of a receiver to detect the presence of a signal? Linearity, A.
B, sensitivity.
C, selectivity.
Or D, total harmonic distortion. Okay, which term which term describes the ability of a receiver to detect the presence of a signal? Linearity? I don't think that's it. Sensitivity? That sounded pretty good, but let's look at the other. Selectivity? That would be a specific signal, I think, more than just a signal. Total harmonic. I'm going with B, sensitivity. My final answer.
Dang, which term describes the ability of a receiver to detect the presence of a signal?
Sensitivity. B.
I think B or C. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to say B. The chat room is saying B.
Selectivity would. Yeah, to me that's a little bit different, but I don't know if I'm right or wrong. Let's see.
I think you need both of those if you just want to receive one signal. There you go. Sensitivity.
Hmm.
Email says he did bring his makeup ring light.
Perfect.
I don't know about that, but I don't know if it's perfect. He will have to shoot us a picture when he's finished with the light.
I don't want to see it. Please don't. Okay. What is a transceiver? A device that combines a receiver and a transmitter.
B, a device for matching feed line impedance to 50 ohms.
C, a device for automatically sending and decoding Morse code.
Or D, a device for converting receiver and transmitter frequencies to another band. What is a transceiver? You know, part of that word sounds like a transmitter. The other part sounds like a receiver. If you put them both together, you got a receiver and a transmitter. I'm going to say it's a device that combines a receiver and a transmitter.
Well, that's a clever play on words.
It is. I don't know who came up with it. Somebody did. They're saying A in the chat room. And it is.
It's hard to fool them in that chat room.
It is. It has happened on occasion.
On occasion. It's not very often, though.
Not very often. Which of the following is used to convert a signal from one frequency to another? A, a phase splitter.
B, a mixer.
C, an inverter.
Or D, an amplifier. Which of the following is used to convert a signal from one frequency to the other? I don't think it's a phase splitter. Mixer seems kind of funny, but it's not an inverter, and it's not an amplifier, but I think it's going to be mixer. I seem to remember something about that from a long time ago when I first took my test or was first studying. So I'm going to go with B, mixer.
Okay. Chat room, they're not saying much yet.
Must be a tough one then.
Must be. Or else there's a little more lag in the stream delay here than I thought. Email keeps throwing up a picture of some fruit or something. I don't know what that is.
I think there might be a bumblebee.
A bumblebee, okay. So he's saying B. I'll agree with you. I think it's B.
Okay. That's awful agreeable.
And it's mighty quiet in there tonight.
It is
I know
quiet.
These are not that hard so far. And it is B. And I think we even have a little photo here.
Good.
This is a block diagram of a super heterodyne AM radio receiver. And this is roughly how it works, starting on the left-hand side. The antenna is the first thing. The signal from the antenna goes through an RF filter. Then it goes through an RF amplifier to get the signal boosted up a little bit. It's just a tiny amount when it comes in on the antenna. And then there's the magic bullet right there you just mentioned, the mixer. And what happens there is that RF signal that's on whatever frequency we're trying to receive, let's say a 1,000 kilohertz on the AM band. We mix that with the local oscillator. Those two beat together, and coming out of the mixer is a signal at a lower frequency. With AM radio, typically be 455 kilohertz. No matter what frequency we tune to, it's always going to come out at 455 kilohertz, because when you tune the signal going in that RF amplifier, the oscillator is tuned at the same time, so that the two together always beat to make 455 kilohertz, because it's easier for the rest of the radio to deal with just that one frequency instead of having to, you know, tune every individual frequency. So that'll go through the IF filter that strips off everything else. The IF amplifier will boost it just a little bit. Then it will go to the AM detector, which demodulates it, picks off just the modulation from the carrier, and that goes to the audio output, which would typically be an amplifier and a speaker. And your automatic gain control loops back from that AM detector and controls the gain of the IF amp and the RF amp. So
that's exactly how I thought it worked.
So that's probably the most popular type of AM radio receiver. Not the only type, but the one that's found most usage over the years.
Good explanation there.
Oh, thank you.
Which term describes the ability of a receiver to discriminate between multiple signals? A, discrimination ratio.
B, sensitivity.
C, selectivity.
Or D, harmonic distortion. Which term describes the ability of a receiver to discriminate between multiple signals? You'd think a discrimination ratio that maybe, but that's not it. That's just a kind of play on words there. B, sensitivity. Sensitivity will help you pick up a signal, but it won't
help you. Yeah, we covered that one earlier.
Yeah, it won't help you select a particular one.
But there's the key word.
Right. C, selectivity. That's going to be it because you just select the signal that you want to listen to. A harmonic distortion. That's distortion.
That's not something you want.
That's not what you're looking for unless you're a rock and roll guitar player. Chat room, they're saying C. And it is.
Nailed
selectivity.
It. Good job there, Professor.
Oh, thank you, Dean. What is the name of a circuit that generates a signal at a specific frequency? A, reactance modulator.
B, phase modulator.
C, low-pass filter.
Or D, oscillator. I think I actually might know this one. I'm going to go straight for the kill here and go for D, oscillator. Generates a signal at a specific frequency, so it's going to oscillate at that desired frequency. So, yeah, I'm going with the D.
You got it in one shot there. Going straight for the kill.
Right for the throat, man.
D, oscillator. Yeah. Chat room saying D.
Yellow Sharpie said D.
Yep.
That's a perfect line, too. How do you do those perfect like that?
It's all in the trick of the mouse.
All right, got a tough one for you here.
Uh-oh.
What device converts the RF input and output of a transceiver to another band? A, a high-pass filter.
B, a low-pass filter.
C, a transverter.
Or D, phase converter. What device converts the RF input and output of a transceiver to another band?
Actually, I think I know this one.
Yeah, it's not a
experience with that.
It's not a filter. It's not a phase converter.
Okay.
And that only leaves one thing that you have experience with.
Well, I know a little bit about it. I know somebody that used one. I saw it set
okay.
up. So I've never had one.
Chat room, C. Transverter.
Okay. Jimmy had one on it for his 10 tech, I think, for 6 meters.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I was talking about.
What is the function of a transceiver's PTT input? A, input for a key used to send CW.
B, switches transceiver from receive to transmit when grounded.
B, provides a transmit tuning tone when grounded.
Or D, input for a preamplifier tuning tone. I just so happen to have a little experience with this one too, somewhat recently. So I'm going to go with, what is the function of a transceiver's push-to-talk input? It's going to be B, switches a transceiver from receive to transmit when grounded. It's going to be B.
Yeah, that's what email is saying.
He's the only one that answered?
Yep. Push-to-talk. B.
Yep.
But, you know, I think that's, I mean, that is the answer out of the choices there, but I'm surprised that they narrowed it down to say switches a transceiver from receive to transmit when grounded. You could also do it when putting a positive voltage on. It just depends on how the radio is built. But that's what they chose to use, so I had those four choices.
That's your answer.
That's the answer. Yeah.
Pay no attention to the professor over here. Behind the curtain.
Sure. Wait till you need the D cells on your All American 5 on a deserted island charged.
Which of the following describes combining speech with an RF carrier signal? A, impedance matching.
B, oscillation.
C, modulation.
Or D, low pass filtering. Which of the following describes combining speech with an RF carrier signal? A, impedance matching. Nope. B, oscillation. The carrier would come from an oscillator. C, modulation. All right, if you modulated that carrier with speech, it's modulation, low-pass filtering. That's not it. It is C. That's what you're saying.
I thought we were going to have a challenge tonight. Of course, night's still young, too.
It is. We're not halfway there yet. What is the function of the SSB CWFM switch on a VHF power amplifier? A, change the mode of the transmitted signal.
B, set the amplifier for proper operation in the selected mode.
C, change the frequency range of the amplifier to operate in the proper segment of the band.
Or D, reduce the received signal noise. What's the function of the SSB or single sideband /CWFM switch on a VHF power amplifier? Does anybody do VHF CW? Change the mode of transmitted signal. Set the amplifier for the proper operation. Selected mode or change the frequency range. It's not going to be change frequency range. Not going to be reduce the received signal noise. I'm going with B, set the amplifier for proper operation in the selected mode, because you're going to have different duty cycles and stuff with sideband and CW or FM. So it might reduce power, whatever, different things. But I'm sure different parameters need to be set. I haven't used a VHF amplifier in forever and ever. But
I'm only owned one, and I don't recall it having.
Yeah, I know, and I got it from you. It was mine after that.
Then you don't recall it either. I don't know. Emil says B. I don't know if he ever had one.
Well, I say B also, because that's the only one that kind of makes much sense.
Yep.
What device increases the transmitted output power from a transceiver? A, a voltage divider.
B, an RF power amplifier.
C, an impedance network.
Or D, all of these choices are correct. What device increases the transmitted output power from a transceiver? A, a voltage divider. Well, if you're dividing it, surely that doesn't increase anything. So it can't be all of these choices. An impedance network, well, yeah, you would want the impedance of the transmitter to be matched, but that doesn't increase the output power. That just lets you get what output power you have. But B, an RF power amplifier would increase your transmitted output power. So that's my answer, B.
Not going to phone a friend or anything?
No.
Okay.
Chat room saying B.
Do you ever watch that It Wants to Be a Millionaire thing? Never seen it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's where I get to. That's where I guess I quit talking about that thing because that's where it all comes from.
Okay. All right.
You can phone a friend or you could, is that your final answer? You never seen that?
Mm.
It's pretty old. Regis Philbin was the one doing it.
Yeah. John said all the older Mirage amps, he sees, have the switch.
Well, yours was a Mirage.
That was a Mirage. I just don't remember the switch.
I barely remember the amp.
Where is an RF preamplifier installed? A, between the antenna and receiver.
B, at the output of the transmitter power amplifier.
C, between the transmitter and the antenna tuner.
Or D, at the output of the receiver audio amplifier. Where is an RF preamplifier installed? Well, RF preamplifier is going to be that's a receive device. Between the antenna and the receiver, or the output of transmitter power amplifier. Between the transmitter and the antenna tuner. Or at the output of the receiver audio amplifier. I'm going to go with A, between the antenna and the receiver.
Okay, I'll agree with you. Chat room agrees with you.
I don't really know what else to say about it. That's just what I think the answer is.
You know, I was hoping that choice D here would have been all of these choices are correct. Because that would have been impossible. You could only put it one place at a time. Anyway, never mind. That's as bad as your millionaire joke over there. That's the first half of the questions. That's all we've got to say about that.
That's it?
That's it.
That was relatively painless for the most part.
For the most part. What do you say we take a quick break, come right back, and continue on?
All right.
Stick around, any ham radio conversation, and ICOM is bound to come up. The reason is straightforward: solid receivers, clear audio, and a layout that feels natural the second you start operating. These radios are made for real on-the-air time, whether the bands are calm, crowded, or somewhere in between. When the gear stays out of your way and the contacts keep coming, you know you're in good company. Choose ICOM. Remote ready, contest capable, and built for serious signal, step into the future of amateur radio with ICOM's powerhouse trio. The IC7760 HF 50 MHz digital transceiver, the ICPW2 1KW HF 50 MHz linear amplifier, and the all-new RC7760 remote controller. Designed to work in perfect harmony, this system offers full remote operation, high output performance, and seamless integration across the bands. The RC7760 remote control serves as an extra control head, and up to five can be registered to the RF deck, though only one can be active at a time. For wireless connectivity, simply connect a commercially available Wi-Fi access point via the LAN port. Whether you're working from the shack, the field, or a remote site, you'll experience crystal clear audio, digital precision, and amplifier-grade power, all from a single unified interface. It's the ideal setup for contesters, MCOM operators, and high-demand users who expect more from their gear. Together, they redefine what's possible in amateur radio, setting a new standard for global connectivity and reliability. The IC7300MK2 builds upon everything operators loved about the original IC7300, elevating it to a sharper, cleaner, and more capable HF experience. Its improved RMDR, lower phase noise, enhanced cooling, and expanded I/O options make it the next level performer for serious operators who want crystal clear reception, rock solid transmit quality, and modern conveniences that fit today's operating styles. Also, check out Sirius Performance for Sirius operators with the IC9700 VHF UHF 1.2 GHz all-mode transceiver. For more information about ICOM's great amateur radios, contact icomamerica.com/amateur today.
I thought we'd give this away.
Okay.
It's a pretty nice shirt. It's an ICOM Ham Crew t-shirt. Really cool shirt from a really cool company. Ham Crew on both sides. You look just as good when you leave the Ham Fest as you did when you got there. I always say. Mm-hmm. I mean, they literally always say.
Yep.
Literally.
That's what you say every time I see you.
Yeah.
Well, half the time.
Half the time when you see me. So who we going to give it to?
Well, how do we give it away?
Oh, it's easy, man. Easy peasy. All you have to do is send an email to hamcollege@amateurlogic.tv. You don't need a license. All you need is a name and an email address. You want to put a note in there? That's cool. We love reading them. But you don't have to. Just send it and get in for the drawing. If you haven't won this month, send it again for the next month because the queue gets cleared out every time we draw a winner.
And I have a winning entry right here.
Who's lucky?
It's Mike.
And he said,
yeah, not that Mike. This is another Mike. He said, "Hi, George and Tommy. Enjoy your show. It helped me get my technician license last spring."
Awesome.
"Congratulations, Mike, and welcome to the hobby." "Thanks, 7-3, Mike, KR4GFS, sent from my iPhone."
Awesome. Congratulations, Mike. You'll be hearing from ICOM here pretty soon to get your information about sending your shirt to you.
Yep.
And appreciate the kind words. We're glad you watched the show and we were able to help you.
And if you watch this episode of Ham College, drop us an email. You could send us, you could just send us an email and not really say anything as long as you got an address to send it from. Or you could put a nice little note like Mike in there. Or I wouldn't put a novel in there, but, you know, you could say, "Hi, hamcollege@amateurlogic.tv.
What can you do if you're told your FM handheld or mobile transceiver is over-deviating? A, talk louder into the microphone.
That'll learn them. B, let the transceiver cool off.
C, change to a higher power level.
Or D, talk further away from the microphone. Well, if you're over-deviating, if you backed up the microphone a little bit, might take care of that. So I'm going to say D. Talk further away from the microphone.
Or do like me and just kind of, later it gets in the evening, you kind of start running out of steam.
Mm-hmm.
You get a little lower and a little lower.
You just move in a little closer as you get tired. They're saying D in the chat room.
I would concur with that.
All right. What would cause a broadcast AM or FM radio to receive an amateur radio transmission unintentionally? A, the receiver is unable to reject strong signals outside the AM or FM band.
B, the microphone gain of the transmitter is turned up too high.
See, the audio amplifier of the transmitter is overloaded.
For D, the deviation of an FM transmitter is set too low. What would cause broadcast AM or FM radio to receive an amateur radio transmission unintentionally? A, the receiver is unable to reject strong signals outside the AM or FM band. That seems like the likely suspect, so let's see. B, the microphone gain of the transmitter is turned up too high. Audio amplifier is overloaded. I'm going to stick with A. Receiver is unable to reject strong signals outside the AM or FM band.
Yeah, I'll agree with you. I think that's the most...
poor filtering, probably.
Yep. A in the chat room.
A.
There you go, the Fonzarella of all answers.
That's it. Which of the following could cause radio frequency interference? A, fundamental overload.
B, harmonics.
C, spurious emissions.
Or D, all of these choices are correct. Fundamental overload. I'm not positive about that. But I do know that harmonics could cause radio frequency interference. And certainly spurious emissions could. So I know at least two of those answers are correct. So fundamental overload sounds like a good candidate as well. So I'm going to say D, all of these choices are correct. Chat room saying D.
I would think that's right. And you're right.
Okay.
Fundamental overload, that's a cool band name. So
that is.
If this whole TV video stuff we've been doing doesn't work out after 20 years, you know, when we start a band and call it Fundamental Overload, that'd be a cool name.
I would say it would be between that and Total Harmonic Distortion. One or the other.
They're both very good.
Yeah.
Good names.
Which of the following could you use to cure distorted audio by RF current on the shield of a microphone cable? A, a bandpass filter.
B, low-pass filter.
C, preamplifier.
Or D, ferrite choke. And this is me answering this one, right? Which of the following could you use to cure distorted audio caused by RF current on the shield of a microphone cable? It's not going to be a preamplifier. It's not going to be... filter. It's going to be a D, ferrite choke. I'm going with that.
That's what they're saying in the chat room. I'm going to agree too. Choke your ferret. I just happen to have right here. Here, have a couple.
Oh,
these are various ferrite chokes right here. This little square one. It's two pieces of ferrite core in there. Clamp it around your microphone cable. That's one of the rectangle ones there.
I've got a few of these, different kinds.
That's the round one.
Got a few like this, a few like that.
These are toroids.
Yep. I actually got a few of those 240 ones.
Mm-hmm. These work too. There are different mixtures of these for different frequency bands that you're dealing with. But, this is what you would use in this particular one or in any of them. Wrap that microphone cable through it a number of times, and that will magically help stop that RF from coming back
in. It
does work. Yep.
It's pretty wild.
Most of the time.
Yeah, true. Yeah. I've had it work some. I've had it work partially, too.
Yeah.
But I also had it cure it before, too.
As a matter of fact, I used one like this just last night. I was trying to talk on HF in the shack here with the amplifier on and everything, and I got a message from my wife that she was hearing a conversation coming from somewhere in the house. So I went in and installed a ferrite and hoped for the best. I haven't tested it. I don't know.
Where did you, she didn't say where it was coming from?
No, she said it was either the bedroom or the bathroom. She wasn't sure. But it was a speaker and a powered speaker in there. I'm sure that's where it was coming from. So I don't know. We'll see if I wake her up tonight.
How can fundamental overload of a non-amateur radio or TV receiver by an amateur signal be reduced or eliminated? A, block the amateur signal with a filter at the antenna input of the affected receiver.
B, block the interfering signal with a filter on the amateur transmitter.
C, switch the transmitter from FM to single sideband.
Or D, switch the transmitter to a narrowband mode. How can fundamental overload of a non-amateur radio or TV receiver by an amateur signal be reduced or eliminated? All right, so fundamental overload, that means the actual frequency you're transmitting on. Switching the transmitter from FM to single sideband wouldn't help you, and switching the transmitter to narrowband mode, I don't think that would help. Block the interfering signal with a filter on the amateur transmitter. Well, if it's your fundamental signal, the one you're trying to broadcast,
you might as well turn it off.
Yeah, you might as well just shut down if you're going to block it from reaching the transmitter antenna. So it's got to be A, block the amateur signal with a filter at the antenna input of the affected receiver.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, that's what the chat room's saying. Which of the following actions should you take if a neighbor tells you that your station's transmissions are interfering with their radio or TV reception? A, make sure that your station is functioning properly and that it does not cause interference to your own radio or television when it's turned on the same channel.
B, immediately turn off your transmitter, contact the nearest FCC office for assistance.
C, install a harmonic doubler on the output of your transmitter and tune it until the interference is eliminated.
Or D, all these choices are correct. And I can tell you right now, D's not the right answer for this. Install a harmonic doubler. You don't want to double your harmonics either. I don't even know if there is a harmonic doubler, but you don't want that. Immediately turn off your transmitter, contact the nearest FCC office for assistance if you want to get a good laugh. Get laughed at.
Oh, yeah, they'd be proud to help you, wouldn't they?
Yeah. So the only really answer that's logical on here is to make sure your station is functioning properly, that does not cause interference with your own radio or television when it's tuned to the same channel.
That makes the most sense.
It does.
A is what they're saying in the chat room.
It also makes me think about stuff that happens at work, like when you call the IT help desk and you got a problem, you're like, well, it works fine on mine.
Yeah. All right. Well, send me yours. All right. You know how Gordo says to solve this issue, don't you? Yeah. The best way to handle it?
Yeah.
Is when your neighbor comes knocking on your door, before they get a chance to say anything, you open the door and say, are you getting that same interference I'm getting?
And send them on looking for somewhere else.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Which of the following can reduce overload of a VHF transceiver by a nearby commercial FM station? A, installing an RF preamplifier.
B, using double-shielded coaxial cable.
C, installing bypass capacitors on the microphone cable.
RD installing a band reject filter. See what that question was again. Which of the following can reduce overload of a VHF transceiver by a nearby commercial FM station? A, installing an RF preamplifier would only make the problem worse. That would not help at all. Using double-shielded coaxial cable, now, I don't think that would really help. Although there are times you use double-shielded cable, I don't think this would help you out in this case. C, install bypass capacitors on the microphone cable. Well, you know, it just said it was overloading a transceiver. It didn't say if it was a transmitter or a receiver that was being overloaded, but I would guess it's a receiver. So putting bypass capacitors on your microphone cable are not going to do anything. But D, installing a band reject filter.
That sounds like the ticket there.
So if you put in a filter that rejected the commercial FM band, yeah. I think D.
I reject your band.
Yeah, they're saying D in the chat room. Yes, A would just make it worse. So, installing a band reject filter. What should you do if something in a neighbor's home is causing harmful interference to your amateur station? A, work with your neighbor to identify the offending device.
B, politely inform your neighbor that the FCC rules prohibit the use of devices that cause interference.
C, make sure your station meets the standards of good amateur practice.
Or D, all these choices are correct. What should you do if something in a neighbor's home is causing harmful interference to your amateur station? Work with your neighbor to identify the offending device. Sounds like a good thing to do. B, politely inform your neighbor that the FCC rules prohibit the use of devices that cause interference. That seems plausible, but it seems like a last resort. Make sure your station meets the standards of good amateur practices. I think D, all these are correct. I think A would be probably the nicest route, but I think D is probably the answer for the question.
Okay. Chat room. Yeah.
Last resort, most of them are saying D. That B on them.
Yeah. I'm going to say it is A.
Just A?
I'm going to say it's just A. I was wrong. It was my question, though.
Oh, man. They all seem plausible.
Yeah.
But that B one is going to make somebody mad.
That seems a little touchy,
mad.
Yeah.
That's like a last resort one right there. If A and C don't work, then you got to pull out the B card.
Yeah, that's – B was that's the one that was holding me up for saying all the choices are correct. But, yeah, you're right.
So, you know, I like how that sounds.
Well, let me say this. Aloysius says call the FCC if email lives nearby.
They get a good laugh at you then, too. Call the FCC about somebody interfering. They don't care. Actually, I shouldn't say that. I'm sure they do somewhat.
Yeah, but they're probably not going to do anything about it.
What should be your first step to resolve non-fiber optic cable TV interference caused by your amateur radio transmission? A, add a low-pass filter to the TV antenna input.
B, add a high-pass filter to the TV antenna input.
C, add a preamplifier to the TV antenna input.
Or D, make sure all TV feed line coaxial connectors are installed properly. What should be the first step to resolve non-fiber optic cable TV interference caused by your amateur transmitter? Your first step. Well, I mean, adding a high pass or low pass filter, that would probably depend on what frequency you were operating on, if it would do any good or not. I know C, adding a preamplifier to the television input or the TV antenna input would only make matters worse. So I'd say the first step is D, be sure all TV feed line coaxial connectors are installed properly. Because, yeah, if there was one that was bad, it would be a pain to go install a filter and all of that. And it turns out it was just a loose F connector on the antenna line. Yeah, I'm going to say D. Chat room says D.
Those cable TV connectors on the end of those cables, they can cause some issues anyway, leakage.
If they're not tight.
Yeah. Yeah, if they're not set up to shield it and done right and everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What might be a problem if you receive a report that your audio signal through an FM repeater is distorted and unintelligible? A, your transmitter is slightly off frequency.
B, your batteries are running low.
C, you're in a bad location.
Or D, all these choices are correct. What might be a problem if you receive a report that your audio signal through an FM repeater is distorted or unintelligible? I don't see you tired on here. Transmitter slightly off frequency, that could cause it. Batteries are running low. Yeah, I guess that could cause that symptom as well. You're in a bad location, kind of breaking up. I'm going to go with D. All these choices are correct.
Okay. Chat room saying D. Yeah, I guess I'm going to agree with you.
Yeah.
All these choices are correct.
What is a symptom of RF feedback in a transmitter or transceiver? A, excessive SWR at the antenna connection.
B, the transmitter will not stay on the desired frequency.
C, reports of garbled, distorted, or unintelligible voice transmissions.
Or D, frequent blowing of power supply fuses. What is a symptom of RF feedback in a transmitter or receiver? I don't think it would cause excessive SWR. The transmitter will not stay on the desired frequency. That's probably not the case. D, frequent blowing of power supply fuses. Probably not the case. C, reports of garbled, distorted, or unintelligible voice transmissions. That is likely to happen. I'm going to go with C. Chat room saying C.
I would concur with that.
And it is.
Although I haven't seen much of that on VHF.
Not much on VHF. On HF, though, I've seen it a lot.
Yeah, HF. And I guess there's a little bit of HF privileges for the technician.
Oh, yeah, 10 meters. Part of it.
A little bit.
Yeah. And I have seen RF feedback coming back into the shack bad enough that it would cause my power supply to shut down.
Yeah, on HF.
On HF. But it didn't specify.
Right.
But yeah, it's C. Choke your ferrets. Your ferrets. And John says they fight back. Yeah, I bet they would. And that is the final question for tonight.
So soon?
So soon.
Three groups per show. Just kind of getting warmed up.
I have one more printed out here if you'd like.
Okay, let's
go another round.
Sure, why not?
Well, I don't have them in the computer yet.
I'll have to catch you another time then.
Well, I've got a Music Memorial Radio Station t-shirt here that everyone should have
from New Zealand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Z-L-I-Z-L-D. Z-L-I-Z-L-D.
Yep, and Z-L-I-Z-L-F. Suburban Amateur Radio Club Incorporated.
Yeah. Well, I just got off work for a macro data refinement here from Lumen.
Yeah.
Technologies.
Do you remember
Lumen
that?
Industries. No.
Okay.
But I had the shirt on when I came back.
Yep. Okay. Well, that was another TV show reference there for, what was the name of that show?
Severance.
Severance on Apple TV.
Yeah, I've seen it. It's great.
Mine was not a TV show, but it was a radio station in New Zealand that the amateur club bought the old radio studios. I don't know if it was a transmitter, too, but the amateur radio club got the building and have turned it into a museum.
Yeah.
I believe, yeah, a museum, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's one Kevin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I like to pull it out and wear it ever so often. I don't know that I've ever talked to anybody from that location, but I have talked to people in New Zealand before.
Yeah, I actually talked to somebody on HF in New Zealand about a month ago.
Yeah. Cool. So if you just didn't happen to have wardrobe that you could tie to a amateur radio club below the equator or to a fictional television show.
Fictitious or, either.
Yeah. Okay. That's close enough. So where might one get some non-fiction t-shirts?
Cool oh, man.
Ones. Cool ones now.
Yeah. Oh, the coolest ones, besides the ICOM swag shirts that you probably already sent your entry in for next month, you can go to shop.spreadshirt.com/amateurlogic, and you can get Ham College or Amateur Logic swag shirts, cups, caps, jackets, backpacks, all kinds of cool stuff on there. Check it out. You're bound to find something you like.
Never too
early to start shopping for the next Christmas season either. Mm-hmm. Actually, Hamfest season's coming up.
It is.
It's actually already started.
It has started. As a matter of fact, this past weekend, we're shooting this on a Monday, but the past weekend was Hamcation in Orlando, Florida, one of the great Hamfests. So one day, I'm going to make it down to that one.
Next year, we're going.
Okay.
You'll be retired. I'm retired.
That settles it.
Retired of Florida.
That settles it. Yep.
Sounds like a road trip.
And if you're wondering when the next Ham College or Amateur Logic show may be and don't want to miss out, well, there's a good way you can find that as well as other information. That's on our social media groups. One is facebook.com/group/hamcollege.
We're also at Ham College on Twitter or X.
Or at groups.io/g/amateurlogic. We've only got an amateur logic one there, but that's all you need. Any of those, we're going to post in it. Usually at least a day or two or maybe a week in advance when the next show is going to be. And on the night right before the show, we'll post on there as well. So you'll never miss another episode. Don't say we didn't warn you. And what if you wanted to know when we covered a particular topic here or on Amateur Logic?
Well, there's this thing called a wiki. It's got the show notes, amateurlogic.tv/wiki. If you go down to the bottom, you'll see Ham College and Amateur Logic show notes. It kind of gives you a rundown on everything that we've covered in there. Most everything we've covered in there.
And if we mentioned any links during that particular episode, we didn't mention any here. And not often do we on Ham College, but on Amateur Logic, if we mention something, we'll give you a link in there as well where you can click and go look for more information yourself. And I think that is it for tonight's show.
It was fun.
Yeah.
I learned something. I always do.
I did too.
Whether I want to or not.
When Tommy says all these choices are correct and they are, just keep your mouth shut.
At least you didn't get an official buzzer.
It wasn't an official buzzer.
You got an honorary buzzer, though.
Yep.
Or dishonorary, whichever way you want to look at it.
It was a fictitional buzzer.
Fictitional buzzer. There you go.
The next time college. Well, I can tell you when that's going to be. Or Dean Martin could tell us when that's going to be.
How about February 27th? That sounds like a good day for that's it.
Sounds like an excellent day
that's
for it.
That's back to a Friday also.
It is. So join us on Friday, February the 27th at 8 Central Standard Time, 0200 UTC. Right here on your same channel.
Same amateur channel, same amateur time.
The next Amateur Logic is scheduled for Friday, March the 13th.
Another Friday the 13th.
Another Friday the 13th.
I won't be here.
My birthday, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
I'm going to miss the cake.
Yep, that's why Friday the 13th, you know, is typically not bad to me.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't had anybody sneaking around wearing a hockey mask, no axe murders, any of that stuff.
Well, I won't be here to wear the hockey mask.
Well, I'm safe on that account then. So, yeah, you'll be out, won't you? You'll be overseas.
I'll just about to head home the next morning.
Okay. Cool.
Over to the sea.
Join us back here again on the 27th for the next Ham College. In the meantime, tell your mom and them, your friends who want to become ham radio operators, check out Ham College.
It's probably cool kids do it.
Yeah, just as we read in the winter a while ago. He just got a license this last spring.
Ham College graduate.
Yep. We've got a number of those floating around out there, so we'd like to make a few more.
7:03, everybody. Good night.
7:03.
Can't get the beat for that, for the words.
Well, I know, and that's the reason I turned the mic off, so that no one would have to hear that but me.
All you need to do is send a new out. Which of the following can reduce overload of a VHF transceiver by nearly... I'm sorry, man. I'm kind of getting really tired. It's been a long day. Which of the following... can reduce overload of a VHF transceiver by nearly... That's three times in a row.
Let's go for four.